Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 669. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
We have decided, I guess, on this show to, you know, since wrestling is just all the time, we can just record whenever the hell we want to. We wanted to keep Hell in a Cell a little more in focus for this one. So, hey, it's another Monday night record, much like last week. And, there was some very nice lead-in to Hell in a Cell on SmackDown. We did end up, and I'm not sure if any of us talked about it last week, about the fact that Roman Reigns and Rey Mysterio ended up having their Hell in a Cell match on Fox instead of on the pay-per-view.
I don't think we could have. we absolutely could not have, because the news broke on a Thursday night.
Okie dokie. So we would have recorded before that news came out. that definitely, that was a call. And that, to me, I guess that was the biggest part of SmackDown. Although, I guess they made the announcement, but they did a very good job of just making the whole scenario play out still within SmackDown itself.
Yeah, they did a really good job with it, making it out to be this huge match on SmackDown, on broadcast television for the first time ever, on SmackDown for the first time ever, doing Hell in a Cell. It was played out really well, built up throughout the night, never did mention it throughout the show. So SmackDown has done, since the Roman Reigns push, done an excellent job of weaving show-long storylines through the entire night, checking back on on Roman Reigns, throughout the night, and having little pieces here and there of the story evolve. It's part of what has made SmackDown a far superior show to Raw, been for certainly most of the last year. That was all very good, leading to the match itself.
And that was one of those things that I kind of wondered about the decision when I first saw it, but then I'm like, man, there are probably more people that are going to end up watching this match than watch the pay-per-view.
Well, yeah, far.
So it's just like, hey, why not have your feature match on network TV? Especially with two, huge superstars. And they definitely gave it enough time, to be a Hell in a Cell length match. Like, it was the last, at least the whole setup to the match and the match itself took up the last half an hour of the show.
The match itself, of course, was very, very good. Rey Mysterio started the match off as an avenging father should have. He started off, with a lot of fire. The match went back and forth, but in the end, Roman Reigns, asserted his dominance one more time. I mean, they let Roman Reigns get these dominating wins. Very over top talent, unlike any heel champion they've ever had before.
Definitely, it's been a long time since anything like this has been around. That's what's helped to make SmackDown so great. Like, Roman Reigns has been great. And you weave in his stuff with the Usos, And, you know, you really just have a formula for a good show, you know? Everyone's been doing great in their part. He's stretched out, you know, like he hasn't featured himself in the ring that frequently so that, you know, you don't get worn out on the champ, but he's still there on TV contributing every week. Like, yeah, they've done a really good job with him. And, you know, like you said, like, it is such a contrast from watching Raw.
Yeah.
There's some decent, there are some good spots and some questionable spots, I guess. More questionable than good, but there are some good things on Raw. Which, you know, I'm sure we'll get to in the Hell in a Cell other part later here. But, yeah, that story definitely dominated SmackDown. And what more can be said when you're talking about how well it played out? Another angle that did play out from SmackDown to Hell in a Cell was Kevin Owens selling the Nigerian nail of Commander Aziz, not only in the match on Friday night, but into his match on Hell in a Cell against Sami Zayn. Like, it was kind of nice to see an injury cost someone a match. That does not happen enough in the WWE, in my opinion.
No. Kevin Owens, was selling his the throat, I guess you could say, or his struggle to breathe properly throughout his match with Sami Zayn. Although if a guy was not breathing properly heading into the match, I'm not sure why they would have.
Why the doctors would have cleared him
in the first place. But yeah, no. They told a good story throughout. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have certainly never had a bad match against each other, and this was. There's been so many that. I'm not sure if I would say this is amongst the top percentile of Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn matches. It was a better match than they had. They had more time, and there was no Logan Paul Gaga. So it was actually considerably a better match, longer match. They really were stiff with each other. They really just went at each other. Sami Zayn finally getting a win. I think someone said that Sami Zayn hasn't actually gotten a win on TV since, like, December before this.
Oh, wow. That doesn't surprise me just because, he's kind of been on a losing streak, but he's kept himself so entertaining that he's stayed on TV and survived a bunch of these losses. But you do kind of need a W every now and again, so that you have some credibility. Even if you're a goofball heel like Zayn is.
Yeah, and he gets that win, and then Kevin Owens putting out a cryptic tweet about going away for a while. So we'll see how that turns out. It sounds like Mr. Owens is taking some time off.
He definitely seems like one of the people that in the past has taken some time off from time to time. And I guess I don't blame him. You know, I do think that it's probably helped keep him fresh that he's stayed off TV for some shorter amounts of time, I want to say, like a couple of months at a time. Because didn't he go home at the beginning of the pandemic for a little while?
Yes. Yeah, he did, yeah.
I feel like he had also done it maybe a year previous to that, where he was just out for, maybe 2 weeks to a month or something like that, and it really does kind of help keep the character fresh a little bit to take a smaller amount of time off. More wrestlers should do it, but of course, he also doesn't, you know, he's kind of got a little bit of a ceiling, I feel like, at this point in his career. Like, he had his championship reign, but I don't really see him regaining that at any juncture here either.
No. And he's, you know, I think he's also, you know, lost more than he's won in the last, you know, 6 months or so.
He had the run with
Roman Reigns, but, you know, lost 3 straight matches there. You know, he got wrapped into this whole thing with Sami Zayn, you know, somewhat of a last minute addition to the WrestleMania card. You know, was interwoven into the Intercontinental feud with Apollo and Big E, and then while still feuding with Sami Zayn since WrestleMania. He could be throwing the Money in the Bank, but not win, and, you know, maybe get a match at SummerSlam, but nothing too featured either, possibly. So, you know, if it's time he wants to take off, which is it's kind of an odd time to take off with touring resuming, but maybe he's not going to be gone that long.
He did say little breaks, so I mean, I guess that's why I'm thinking a couple of weeks to a month or something like that. But, you know, I don't know what's in his head, and maybe I'm putting too much stock into the word little in the tweet. But, if it is a short-term thing, I think it's a great idea, man. I'm sure it really does probably help keep your body fresh. And if his family still lives in Canada, I'm not sure how much he saw them in the meantime.
Right.
Because I'm not... Did they ever... Like, I don't keep track of that stuff, so I have no idea where his family lives. Because last I knew, it was still Canada, so...
I believe they're still... I believe they moved when he first went down to the performance center at NXT, I believe.
Okay.
They went down with him, but then... Because, you know, with the kids and one of his oldest son being special needs, they decided to move back to Montreal so they can be closer to each of their, you know, the kids' grandparents. So I think they do live in Montreal, or Quebec, somewhere in Quebec. I shouldn't say Montreal specifically. Montreal is not a catch-all for all of Quebec.
No, it is not. So, yeah, I don't really keep track of those things, so I could definitely see wanting to visit with border restrictions at least a little bit lighter these days. So, he seems like a very family-oriented guy, so that would not shock me at all. So... Anyway, whatever the reason, good on him, you know. Take the time, come back, I'm sure, you know, he'll always be involved in something, and they will probably continue to use him as a title challenger from time to time, but, you know, I do think that, like I said, it's just that he kind of has a ceiling, I think, at this point in the WWE. So him taking time off isn't really going to affect his status that much. And what was there anything else that carried over from SmackDown into Hell in a Cell? And do we really need to talk?
Nothing really carried over because there would only been 3 SmackDown matches. And those other 2 SmackDown matches didn't really have any storylines. Just real promo. There was a little bit of stuff. A little physical interaction. But no, we can move on to Hell in a Cell to talk about, you know, those 2 matches and the rest of the card.
um Yeah, well, I guess I was thinking when I was talking about the not everything being terrible on Raw. I will say that the Raw Hell in a Cell match had me going through some emotions. And I, for a minute there, thought that Drew McIntyre was going to win and was kind of annoyed on a couple of different occasions. But then Bobby Lashley ends up pulling out the win in their Hell in a Cell. Were you surprised by the outcome? Did you go through the the roller coaster of emotions that I did watching that match?
No, I actually, not really. I mean, I didn't think that, I didn't believe Drew was going to win. I just, maybe for a little bit, for a bit, I thought that maybe they were to go, I just didn't think Drew was going to win. But I was also waiting for something bigger to happen than what did happen.
Yeah. Oh.
Wait for someone else to get involved to cost through the match beyond just MVP grabbing Drew's leg and a roll up and a finish you would see on any episode of Raw. But the screwy nature of it, you know, and just how much of a fluke the win was can lead to something down the road and can, you know, make Bobby out to be a bit MVP out to be bastards. So yeah, didn't hate it as much as some people did, but the match was fine. The match was good. I thought they were hurt about this almost always happens when there's more than one of these things. It was hurt by what Bianca and Bayley did earlier, because Bianca and Bayley really did not leave them with many weapons that weren't used earlier in the night. I think Drew and Bobby got some table action, and that's about it. Otherwise, it was just, you know, recycled the same weapons that were used in the first cell match.
I guess they didn't need as many toys in some ways. They both kind of concentrated on just wailing on each other. You know, they did kind of have more of a typical big man kind of match. There was something that wasn't... It's still just hard. I mean, I guess to me that's kind of an example of Hell in a Cell being hurt by the WWE's PG rating. Like, these guys really should have been busted open by the end of this thing. Like, that... I feel like they did a pretty good job of throwing each other around. But when you don't have the blood, you're just like, oh, they don't look that bad. Like, I mean, Drew's back looked terrible.
Well, I was kind of about to say, yeah.
because that table bump didn't look like that went completely smoothly. I still feel like a cell match with kind of the level of beating that they put each other through without, you know, with recycled weapons and, I guess I wouldn't expect as much creativity out of them, I guess, in general. Just because of both of their wrestling styles to start with. I guess I always feel like the high flyers are the ones that take advantage of these matchups a little bit more. And, you know, yeah, neither Drew nor Lashley, though I think they're probably capable of doing so, do not really rely on aerial maneuvers at all. So, I do think that kind of limits your options a little bit as far in the creativity way. I guess that part didn't really bother me that much. Because, yeah, I'm good with a big hoss fight in a cage. I just want some blood with it.
Yeah.
I guess I just thought that maybe another recrowning of Drew was a possibility, but I did think that the ways that MVP ended up being involved in the match were at least somewhat creative. That, you know, they weren't to me like the... I don't feel like people slip people things like his cane in matches. Like, the old brass knuckles thing just... I feel like that happened like every other week when I was a child. And maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, when a weapon gets passed like that, it just kind of, does kind of throw me back a little bit.
Yeah, it was, you don't see that very often. No, I mean,
And the other one was him pinning him against the cage with the kendo stick. Though I do think that they probably should have inserted another set of kendo sticks to keep his legs pinned against the ring, too.
Yeah.
But I did think that that was kind of a little bit of a fun and... Yeah, I mean, again, I guess that I'm not expecting that much creativity out of them. What did you think about the Bianca and Sasha matchup? Since oh my gosh!
I almost did the same thing.
Okay. Yeah, Bailey and Bianca. Oh boy. So I guess you do feel like they pulled out all the stops in their matchup.
Yeah, they definitely pulled all the stops. They had a really, really good match. They used they used everything that they had at their disposal. You know, had a good sound, smart match. You don't see every day the women's, a women's match have the steps torn apart and brought into the ring. First brought out of the ring by Bailey, but, struggling, with the steps. And then, of course, Bianca just heaves them up over her head and throws them at Bailey outside. That was a good spot. The stuff they did with kendo sticks and, the inventive ways they used Bianca's hair.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? They've probably gone to the well of Bianca's hair probably a little too much this early in her reign. There's not much more. Obviously, the whip will always get a reaction. It will always look great, sound great. But, as far as tying her hair to things and, and just, dragging her hair with things, they did a lot in this match, and I don't. It's just not many avenues left to go with the hair.
Yeah, it is kind of weird that it feels like you'd want to feature just her wrestling more up front, but the hair is definitely. It definitely played a factor in NXT, but it was mostly ring work in NXT, in my opinion, too. Of course, she didn't have any type of match that was even closely related to Hell in a Cell that something like this could have happened either. But, I'm not sure how many other hair ideas you can come up with after that.
Yeah, no. I mean, it really was a bit of, essentially turning the match into a strap match using Bianca's ponytail. That was a lot of fun.
Yes, agreed.
I like this match a lot, and of course, you can't go without talking about that finish. The KOD onto the open ladder. that look like it hurt.
Yeah, people kind of love that open ladder spot now, and I don't know if the landing is supposed to be easier, but I feel like the bounce off of it always comes so high that it always looks very risky.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you don't get enough weight into it, and the ladder does not collapse with you. Bailey took that like a champ. I don't know. Did she take to social media to show off her bruises?
No. She did not do that. No. So I guess, as they say, there's a trick. There must be a trick to it.
Well, yeah, maybe she just wasn't wanting to put that out there either. Who knows? It was an emphatic win. That was one where I'm like, oh, okay, the book is closed. I mean, any cell match really should be book closed on the feud. And, Bianca's definitely going to be moving on from Bailey after this. And I almost said Sasha again. Good gravy. So that'll be interesting to see who her next challenger is, because I don't have anyone in mind on SmackDown, at least.
I guess it would have to be Sasha, unless you're pulling that off until SummerSlam. Unless you want to do a quickie for Carmella, I guess you could do that. But there's not much of a story there, or much of a way you could do that to make people believe that Carmella stands a chance in hell. So that's a tough one. I hope they don't just try to drag one more match out of this whole Bailey situation. But we'll see. So I guess I would say the next one would probably be Sasha.
Yeah, that does make a great deal of sense. Because how much time do we still have before they start doing live audiences again?
We have 3 weeks from Friday.
Okay. So yeah.
After tonight, we have 3 more SmackDowns and 3 more Raws after tonight. Obviously, Raw is ongoing. Raw is ongoing as we are doing this. But yes, after this week, there are 3 more. You almost do want to hold off on the Sasha Bianca match till SummerSlam. That's what I do, but it's just I just don't know what you do when it's what you do instead. So yeah, that should be interesting.
Well, yeah, because you're not going to burn the return of Becky Lynch on a 1 month feud, you know?
No, you won't. Unless they think, you know, that Becky Lynch going to SmackDown and challenging, I would assume Bianca continues to retain at SummerSlam is a bigger thing than going with Sasha. And then you don't. I don't know what you do with Sasha and Sasha or Bailey or it'll be interesting. And the wild card in both women's divisions is where does Becky Lynch end up when we assume she returns in the next 3 or 4 weeks.
There definitely seems to be more smoke forming in regards to her popping back up, and really another couple of names possibly popping back up in the WWE. But we shall see when they land, when they do in fact land. But yeah, I don't think she's getting. Unless they really are going to carry on a feud for a longer time period, I don't see Lynch being the one that is in this kind of weird lame duck time period that they have. But I mean,
no, that's not going to happen. That's 100% not going to happen.
Oh yeah, and it's just. Yeah, it's a little bit, I don't know who else they can, really, I guess they would go maybe with Carmella or something like that. Interesting. And I'm trying to think of what else, well, I guess we did have a, another women's match on this card. That also came after the women's Hell in a Cell match. Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair. Part we're still not sure yet because
it's only their second one on one, I believe.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, but multiple three ways, tag matches, etc. This feud just does not have a defined babyface. It's like a feud between two eels, and it's not. It's just not working at all. I mean, the wrestling is fine. It was one of Rhea's better outings on the main roster. Maybe Rhea's. Well, I would say the triple threat was because Asuka was actually in that match at WrestleMania Backlash. So obviously it was going to be better, but it's one of Rhea's better outings since on the main roster since WrestleMania. But the lack of clearly defined characters in this thing it is really muddying the waters. On top of all the other issues that have really been with Rhea since really for a while. It's, I think even headed back to her last when she just. After her little cup of coffee with Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania, then going right back to NXT for a year, something's been missing with her for a while. I think that there's just there's a disconnect with her. I've been noticing it more and more. It feels like she was like a creation of a period of time in NXT, and then when they moved on from that period, she didn't move on. To anything new or different.
I don't know if I can completely put my finger. I guess
I can't fully put my finger on it, but there's just something about her that doesn't feel authentic. It doesn't feel like she's like mentally as her with her psychology and her instincts in the ring. It just feels like if she's not being produced properly, then she just doesn't know what she's doing.
I don't think that they've given her any time to introduce like what her character means. Like they talk about her brutality, but she was never really they've never really given her like a string of squash matches to show that off.
No.
Because, like you said, like, she just got thrown right in there. Like, she wrestled Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania and then took a year off. And then...
she meandered around NXT for far, far, far too long.
Yeah.
One of my things, I've really started to see with her character is, if you remember, she came into the Mae Young Classic basically... like a 6-foot, fitness model type, and then changed to this current looking character. I feel like there's just a lack of authenticity. Like there's something that tells me she doesn't really dress like this, and she doesn't, she doesn't listen to the she's not into that music scene. She doesn't live this lifestyle. And I know we've seen plenty of off the wall characters. They're off the wall characters that people committed to.
Oh.
And of course we've seen the off the wall characters that people didn't commit to, and those, went quickly by the wayside. And I wonder if she could end up being one of them. Unless somebody really works with her on, who she is and what she's about. and she starts to be able to, you know, have a better feel for herself both inside of the ring and out.
Yeah, I think the outside of the ring stuff is, even though she hasn't been great, like, Charlotte hasn't been great since she's been back either. Like, so then...
No, we've talked about that ad nauseum, yes.
Yeah,
actually, she's been better since WrestleMania than she was when she came back late last year.
Her little post-WrestleMania vacation helped a little bit.
Well, her WrestleMania vacation actually is what it was.
Oh, yeah, her...
whatever that was. Whatever that weird time period was. But yeah, Charlotte's been better. But also, Charlotte is still doing her... Okay, Rhea Ripley purposely got herself disqualified. That is a 100% heel move.
Oh.
No doubt.
Yes.
And she's been largely a heel, you know, she was a heel with Asuka. She started to show more respect and sympathy for Nikki Cross during that whole weird deal. So it's like she was the babyface with Charlotte, but not totally ever a babyface. And Charlotte certainly hasn't done anything to turn babyface or be the least bit likable either. So it's just like, it's a character mess. It's a creative mess.
Yeah, those characters should not be going against each other.
Not right now. No. it's obvious, and it's as of tonight with Raw. I didn't watch a Raw so far, but before recording, the rematch is at Money in the Bank is official. With no stipulation, with no added stipulations as of yet, which is stupid and weird. It is so weird, right, after you do something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to at least go with a no DQ, but... we have 3 weeks until that happens. I guess I wouldn't be completely surprised if a stipulation comes up between now and then because of something else that happens. It would be really weird if it just ended up being a match after someone cheated to get themselves disqualified.
Yeah.
It would be really, really weird.
Maybe at Money in the Bank, she'll get herself counted out. So then at SummerSlam, we can have ourselves a good old-fashioned lumberjack match. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, jeez. That can stay in the past. I guess if we want to keep on talking about the ladies, let's go Alexa Bliss versus Shayna Baszler. Your thoughts on this matchup?
Well, it's probably about what we thought it would be. I mean, Alexa Bliss is back wrestling. She's getting wins again. She's still in this character. They're still talking about Lily while not having her around, so that whole thing is just very weird. But, you know, Shayna, you know, they're pushing Alexa Bliss right now. They're putting her back in the ring. She's getting some wins. After everything else we've seen, I didn't really have a big problem with it.
Yeah, it was just kind of... I guess because my expectation, I'm like, okay, she's in a tag team situation. She did mention Lily still being in timeout. But I'm like, this is the perfect time for her to get help at ringside. You know, in a person that is Lily. And it didn't happen. We just got more hocus pocus stuff. From Alexa Bliss being able to evidently control people's minds for at least short periods of time. She ended up having Nia Jax slap Reggie at ringside?
Yeah, I believe that's what happened, yes.
And something else happened kind of weird during the match. So, yeah, this is going to be, it's going to be interesting to see where this one continues to go. She got the win, so they're behind her, and at least a little bit. But I guess I feel like I need something more out of the situation. Like, something's still not quite ringing right to me. Do you still get that vibe?
I mean, like, what do you mean?
Like, Alexa, I guess there's still something missing with the Alexa Bliss package. Like, I know that she can wrestle, I know that she can cut a promo, but this character is just... They're trying to make it catch on. Like, this is like the inverse, almost, to me, of Rhea Ripley. Like, Alexa Bliss has had this character and kind of fleshed out this character for a long time now. And yeah, has gotten lots of TV time about it. But I guess the superpowers are a little bit lame to me. Like, I guess they helped her win the match, but they weren't things that maybe scared. Like, they always tried to sell Bray Wyatt's powers as, you know, freaky, and it really get on the other people's nerves. But all the stuff that Bliss has done has not really been met with the same reaction. You know, like, Nia Jax wasn't, like, overcome with fear after being possessed during the match. And, you know, nothing really happened with Reggie either. Like, she can't do, like, the little weird crab walk. Or though she tried to do her own crab walk thing in that match, didn't she? It's more like a little yoga squat stretch that she was doing. Yeah, I guess there's, if they want to invest in the weirdness, and they seem to, like, I guess I feel like it needs to have more of a direction as to what her powers are exactly. Maybe that's a good way to sum it up. Like, I was trying to, does that make sense? Having a focus for her powers?
I guess that would help. I don't know. it's all stupid.
I want to give stupid a try, but yeah, they're just they're not helping things out. So, okie doke. It's easy to move on from that one. I do believe that maybe there were some boo-boo faces around the interwebs, which I was not on despite watching most of Hell in a Cell live. People not happy about Cesaro taking the L to Seth Rollins. I felt like I kind of saw this one coming, because why else would you have this match? Like, if it was in a cell, you have to give the win to Cesaro, but because it's just another match, I kind of expected Seth Rollins to win this one. Were you of the same mindset?
I had no... feelings that Cesaro was going to win this match at all. No. I think this match was designed for Seth to get the win after doing the loss at WrestleMania, the job I should say at WrestleMania. I mean, I think that's pretty. I think that was pretty clear.
Yeah, well, I guess I was a little bit surprised when I hopped on there today. I saw a couple of, a number of people, complaining about that, and I was just like, really? Because did he have a couple of matches against Reigns already? Cesaro?
Cesaro, there was only the one.
Oh, okay.
But he lost that clean.
Yeah. So, I mean, he doesn't have anywhere to go right now, and they can still maybe push him. Like, I guess it's going to depend upon, see what happens to him here afterwards. If he ends up getting put into the mid-card title hunt and maybe holds on to the title for a while, I could see him getting another crack at things down the road. But, you probably... I guess with the rumors surrounding Seth Rollins having a big name to wrestle at SummerSlam here, you kind of need to rebuild Seth Rollins. This kind of win definitely makes those rumors smell like they're true. Because I was trying to think of who, who was it that, because it's Cena and Roman Reigns. And why is the name escaping me that Rollins is supposed to take on?
Edge.
Oh yeah, Edge. Who has been off TV for quite some time, and I would enjoy that matchup. Like that's what I was expecting, more of that from Edge when he came back. More of a murderer's row of different opponents, and not him and Randy Orton for more matches than I'd care for.
Right.
You know, so I guess when I saw Edge and Seth Rollins, I'm like, oh yeah, I can get behind this. It would make great sense if Seth moves on after this to someone like Edge. And Cesaro has, I don't know, I, because he's on, yeah, they're all on SmackDown with Apollo Crews and Owens and Sami Zayn and Nakamura and Baron Corbin. They have at least a number of guys in that mid-card area that can work with each other.
SmackDown's got a really great roster.
There's that. So yeah, Cesaro. I don't think it should be all doom. If people are thinking it's all doom and gloom for him, I think that they need to get their heads out of their butts. I guess then that leaves us, Chris, with some AEW Dynamite. We here at Stunt Granny have, well, I think Jeremy and I have talked about them a little bit, but AEW has gotten the shaft since it moved to Friday nights at 10 o'clock. Because it is just, it's not a good time slot.
No, it's not. I do watch the show. I've watched the show every week since it's been on Fridays, because just nothing else going on, and it's just, it's right into SmackDown. And if I don't watch it on a Friday night, I probably won't get to it at all. Or it'd be just kind of hard to force myself to get it to watch it back. So I do. They've been in their own kind of their own holding pattern. Not a huge bit going on right now. I mean, the show that's going to be on Saturday night in prime time with the Kenny Omega Jungle Boy title match. That should be a bigger show. Then they're back on Wednesday the 30th, so they're doing two shows in five nights. They're returning to Wednesdays, and that one being their last night at Daly's Place before going back on the road. But yeah, these Friday night shows have been definitely a holding pattern, placeholder stuff. The last 2 weeks, pretty obviously that, they just recorded those over a weekend and had more actual know, wrestlers surrounding the ring than usual, but they didn't actually have a crowd in the stands, and they were using some fake crowd noise to just to get through a couple of weeks of TV. In that regard, it's been, you know, we've missed, you know, 3 weeks in a row of talking about, well, maybe it was 2 weeks past, you missed, but you know what I mean. We've missed talking about AEW, but at the same time, we really haven't missed anything too big either.
I was kind of chuckling when this show started off with the Jake Hager and Wardlow cage match. That was another one where when I was watching the beginning of this, I'm like, man, are they going to have Wardlow win this thing? That'd be really weird. You know, that would be kind of damaging to the guys like Jake Hager's actual MMA career. Not that it's going to go much anywhere, honestly. Like, he doesn't seem to fight that frequently.
No, and when he does, he ends up just fighting AutoZone employees and still kneeing them in the groin somehow. Hager missed his shot in mixed martial arts by at least a good 10 years.
Yeah.
As we've mentioned before, he seems like a man who regrets his decision to ever become a professional wrestler and not fight MMA right out of college.
Yeah.
But he got to have a fake MMA match.
Yeah.
A fake MMA fight in the opening match of a wrestling show. So good for him. That was suitably awful. And proof why we don't actually, why we never really do this. We never actually have a, there have been history of fake boxing matches, almost none of them, you can argue none of them were ever very good when they went down that road. But a fake MMA match is even worse in practice.
Yeah, I did kind of laugh that Hager looked like he's blown up after the first round. So I'm just like, ooh, man, are you going to get through a real MMA fight? Hager ended up winning, and, you know, it's kind of whatever. The match, I guess, was whatever, too. Even though he does have a real MMA career, I'm just, I'm never really going to get behind Hager. He seems uninspired.
He absolutely is uninspired. He's been uninspired for a long time, and I don't even know if his ceiling in wrestling was that high to begin with. I mean, he had the likes of Jim Ross and Jerry Briscoe rooting him on from the University of Oklahoma, but I don't know if he's this great talent. He is absolutely not this great talent WWE missed out on.
Oh no, he kind of is what he is. Like the real American thing kind of hit. That's all he's really gotten out of everything that he's done. Darby Allin, not a smart man for deciding to take on two men at the same time. It was nice, the person who was handicapped actually lost their match.
That was fine. It was good for Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page to pick up a win. Even under those nefarious circumstances where they can be really proud about beating one guy 2-on-1. That was fine. There seemed to be setting something up where Darby is getting tired of being compared to Sting, and Sting, you know, always being there to save him. So, I would assume maybe a one-on-one Darby Allin versus Sting match could be on the horizon eventually. But if that's where they're going to go, it's fine. I mean, Sting essentially pulled off the miracle performance of a lifetime at Double or Nothing. Maybe he can do it again in one final singles match. We'll see. But no, it's fine with what they're doing right now.
That was fine. Orange Cassidy continues to just keep winning over people that I expect him to win over. Any major thoughts on the debut of Arn Anderson's son Brock with Cody Rhodes?
I mean, for someone in his first match, AEW is making a habit of putting people in their absolute first matches ever on their main television show. So that's interesting. But everything he did correctly and proficiently. But I noted it last week when he walked out in his street clothes, and now that I see him in trunks, it's even more prominent to me. That is the most average looking man I have ever seen in my life. I mean, he's not thick he's not meat and potatoes thick like his dad. He's certainly not anywhere near jacked. He's not freakishly, obese or anything. He is just an average-looking guy who could use to you. He either needs to hit the weights or the drive-thru. I'm not sure, but either would actually help him.
He's a little plain looking. And I don't know how to completely solve that problem, to be honest with you, because it's not like he can't pull a Cody Rhodes and look ridiculous with blonde hair, but I don't think dyeing his hair dark brown to match his or even brown to match his dad's more would do him really any favors.
He already looks enough like his dad. I can't tell what you can't tell whether he's 22 or 52. There is no doubting that. There is no doubting that that guy's paternity.
We're not going to have a custody battle with Brock Anderson, that's for sure. That weirdness will not happen. It is kind of weird that they're tossing these guys in there for their very first matches on Dynamite itself. It seems like he's been training, so he acquitted himself well enough. and he didn't need to be in there the whole match, which always helps out. And everyone else in there has had a decent amount of experience, because even Aaron Solo has been around because he was in NXT for a while before going to AEW, correct?
I don't think he ever was in NXT or Performance Center.
Okay.
I know he's a California independent wrestler. He was, legitimately the boyfriend of Bayley for a very long time until they broke up, I believe, earlier this year. And about that time was when he started appearing on Dynamite. It's kind of weird that he's mixed in with QT Marshall and the Factory when that's not where he got his initial wrestling training, but I guess they need somebody who could actually have matches. It appears that they've just decided to just move a go-go back to training and try to wipe off the stink of this whole Cody storyline and reintroduce him down the line.
Yeah, I guess that's my only hope for Brock Anderson is that he's more ready to go than a go-go was. I guess it's not a surprise. People talk about how much time it takes to break into the wrestling business, and they're trying to throw these guys on there that have little to no experience, and it's just like, huh? Like, why did you think that? Like, everyone says this, like, in the wrestling industry. Like, what? Huh? So, yeah. I guess we'll see. But, yeah, that feud, we can't get rid of it soon enough.
No, we cannot. And they're dragging it out all the way to the... Because they must think that QT Marshall is money. They're putting that on the first show with fans. That is still not sold out yet, but well, once they see QT Marshall on the marquee, tickets are going to go flying.
Oh, man. I guess the only other thing to talk about there for AEW, because I'm not talking about the... what's her name? Ford. Penelope Ford match.
That match getting Penelope Ford against Julia Hart going through a commercial break and getting two segments. That's all you need to know about AEW and just how seriously they're taking these Friday night shows.
In the main event was a little bit of a cluster F too, with Penta, El Zero Miedo, Eddie Kingston, and Frankie Kazarian taking on Matt Jackson and the Good Brothers, and Brandon Cutler being a large storyline in this matchup.
Cutler and Nakazawa can both go for... Oh, cronyism in that company is just gross. But yeah, it was a weird match. That's a weird babyface team. Having Matt Jackson in a six-man tag with two other guys who aren't his brother, and Nick Jackson not even in the match. Just a weird main event. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. Yeah, I'm getting a little... Get a little tired of the former Bullet Club, the Elite stuff. I could see, but I don't feel like it's going to wrap up anytime soon either.
Jungle
is not winning that title.
I guess I did genuinely assume that Nick was just not there for whatever reason. I was a little bit surprised by the ending. I thought that they... whatever. Like, a six-man match never means anything to me. Like, even when there's six-man titles involved, like, I still have a hard time getting too pumped about a six-man match. Like, there's still something that... I know that there's a history from a lot of places with six-man... But it really doesn't do a good job of catching my fancy. So yeah, whatever. Someone won this match. I don't really care in the long run. So yeah, anything else to get off of your chest before we get on out of here?
Nah, I think we're pretty good.
I was not drinking a beer tonight because I had one too many yesterday. So I will talking about one of the ones that I had yesterday as soon as I pull up my old beer list here. And because it was my brother-in-law has a keg at all times in his in his basement. And his wife got him a keg of Warp Wing Omega Haze Tangerine IPA. I will say this about it. My father-in-law is not an IPA guy. He likes the more Budweiser-y type craft beers, if you can find them, whether they be Pilsners or Lagers or things of that nature. He even liked this IPA. He really liked the tangerine flavor in it. It was quite tangerine heavy. Maybe not. It was on the better end of IPAs. I will say that. Like, I'm not sure that it was quite as good as the Gavel Banger that I had on the last show that I did with you, but it was still a pretty delicious beer nonetheless. And I went back for seconds. So yeah, not the beer consumed tonight, but it was a beer consumed yesterday. So. There you go. Belt time beer for the show, despite not drinking it. So, at DeFrango 11, that is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any place like Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, a lot of the big name places. So, have a good night, grandkids.
Later.